Okay, Boker Tov. Good morning, everyone. This week is Parashat Ki Tisa. Parashat Ki Tisa is a very long parasha, and there are some very dense, important topics that are very philosophical and get to questions of understanding God that are very challenging to understand. So I'd like to go through one section of the Torah instead of going through the entire parasha. Go through this one section from this week's parasha and to share some of what the commentators say. I will say that as you delve into this topic, you go in with the humility of understanding that we may not understand everything, and we ask certain questions to try to glean additional information. And so what I'd like to do is share some answers that I've read over time, but I will fully acknowledge that there are certain things that that we don't necessarily understand. So let's go through the parasha and we'll talk about it. In the parasha, there's a lot going on in the parasha related to the sin of the golden calf, where the Jewish people, after a few, not even a few months of witnessing miracles in the Exodus from Egypt and Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we witness miracles. The Torah tells us that the people saw it, they believed in God, they understood that this wasn't a happenstance, this was because God was behind them and supporting them, and the sea split. And the Torah tells us is that it happens that Moshe is on Har Sinai, receiving the tablets, the Luchot from Hashem, and he's delayed, or at least they were expecting him to come sooner than he actually came, and so they create a statue of a cow out of gold. And there's a whole discussion of how it happened. How can the people stoop to this level, if you will, like trying to understand how this happened? And there's a lot to discuss about Aaron. There's so much to discuss about that. But after it happened, Hashem decided that he wants to destroy the Am Yisrael. And Moshe defended Am Yisrael and said that you can't destroy them, and he begged for forgiveness, and Hashem forgave them. Now, when Hashem forgave them, Moshe used this as an opportunity. It seems like there's some discussion going on, like this was a good moment. So Moshe asks a question, and I'll read to you the question, and I'll explain to you the way the Rambam explains it, or I'll share different opinions. Okay, so this, I actually have it on the screen, so I'll share my screen so that you can see it. Here we go. Should be able to see this screen now. Yeah. Okay. So this is it. Vayomer Har'eni Nad Kivodecha. So Moshe says to God, Har'eni Nad Kivodecha, let me behold your presence. Show me your honor. Show me. And this is understood as meaning, explain to me your ways. I want to understand you. What exactly is he asking? It's a bit ambiguous. Our sages, the Gemara Masechet Berachot, explain, and I'll show you the Rambam in a moment. Our sages explain that he's asking the age-old question, if you will, of why is it that there are good things that happen to good people and good things that happen to bad people, bad things that happen to good people, bad things that happen to bad people. Meaning, this is the question of, hey, why is there bad things that happen to good people or good things that happen to bad people? But that if the question is only why do bad things happen to good people, then you're making an assumption that you understand certain elements. You understand why good things happen to good people. You understand why bad things happen to bad people. The humility in the question, the way the Gemara presents it, is that Moshe wasn't saying, I know why you do this, this, and this, but I don't understand that piece. His question is, explain to me. I don't understand, and I acknowledge that I don't understand any of the patterns. Why do good things happen to good people, good things to bad, bad to good, bad to bad? Just please explain it to me. So, cryptic question that our sages explain or elaborate. Let's see the answer. He's saying that I will, and this isn't the line that I want to focus on, but he says, I'll pass my goodness in front of you. I'll call out my name to you. I will give mercy to whoever I decide to, and I will be grant compassion to whoever I decide to. It's almost like you're not going to understand. I'll show you something. I'll tell you something, but I'm going to do this based on my own decision making. But this next line is really what I want to focus on. And he says, You cannot see my face. Right? He's saying, show me. And he's saying, you can't. Because a human being can't see me and continue to live. A few ways to explain this, but essentially the way it sounds like is like, you're a human being, you can't understand. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. You know, it's like the line is where he's saying, you're a human being, you're not going to be able to understand. So he says, here's what I'll do for you. You can stand, stand there in the rock. Okay. And I'm going to cover you with my hand and I will pass by you. And while you're standing there in the crack of the rock, you stand there. I will cover you with my hand and I'll pass by. I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back. But you won't see my face. You can't see my face because you're a human and a human can't see me and live. So stand there. I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to pass by. I'll remove my hand. You'll see my back, but you won't see my front. Very cryptic. Very ambiguous. There's a few explanations that I'd like to share. So the first is what the Rambam explains. The Rambam in Halachot Yisodei HaTorah explains as follows. You know what? I believe I have it on the screen. So let me share this. Okay. So in chapter 1, line 8, the Rambam essentially says that God is non-physical. Hashem does not have a body. Hashem is not physical. He's a non-physical being. And so any physical attributes that's given to God is not real because God is not physical. If you think about how Hashem, our belief is that Hashem created the universe and created physicality. So he can't be physical to have created physicality. He had to be non-physical and then created the world. So he asks the question, if that's the case, why does it say in the Torah that under God's legs, or the tablets are written or engraved with the finger of God? What legs does he have? What finger does he have? Yad Adonai, the hand of God. Enei Adonai, the eyes of God. Oznei Adonai, the ears of God. All of these lines, they're giving him human body parts. But if you're telling me he doesn't have a body, so why does the Torah itself talk about God with human bodies, human body parts? So this is what he says. It's very important. Hakol lefi datan shel bnei Adam. Shehu bnei Adamu she'enan makirin ela hagufot v'dibra Torah k'lishon bnei Adam. He explains that the Torah is speaking in our language. The Torah is speaking in the language of human beings, and human beings understand human bodies. So when it says something like God's eyes are looking towards something, it's essentially saying that Hashem will be intimately involved and paying attention to it the same way as a human being. When they're focused on something and they're looking at it, they stay focused on it. Same idea. It's a parable or it's a metaphor for us as humans to understand God's relationship toward us. It's a parable. So like I gave this example in the past where it would be, let's say there is a concept in chemistry that I'd like to explain, a chemistry topic. And I would use sports to explain the chemistry topic. Okay, so let's say I gave this example before, like without having to go into the chemistry, there's a concept of like, let's say half-life, which is basically you take something and you cut it in half, and then you cut it in half again, then you cut it in half again, you cut it in half again. And so you could use a football concept to explain that. Let's say, for example, someone gets a penalty and the penalty gives you half the distance to the goal, and then half the distance to the goal, half the distance to the goal. If you understand football, you'll understand what I mean, where you're never actually going to get into the end zone, but you'll always be getting closer and closer and closer and closer. You'll never actually get in, but you're always getting closer. So there you go. I used a football sports concept to explain to you a chemistry concept. I'm not, my job right now is not to explain. I'm not trying to explain to you the chemistry topic or the sports topic, but I'm trying to say how you'll use. Actually, I've heard there's one rabbi that said how sports was created so that Torah could be explained to like teenagers. You know, sports is such a good parable for many things because it's something that humans understand so well. And there's many good concepts of teamwork and responsibility and sportsmanship, many things you can learn from it, professionalism, that you could bring to the rest of your life. And so there you go. You're using something that you speak, a language that you speak, to explain other concepts. This is what the Rambam argues, is that anytime the Torah gives a physical attribute to God, he's non-physical. So the attributes are there for us to understand as humans to perceive. He goes on further to explain the same with emotions. It says that God gets angry, or God gets is a jealous God. All of these, they're not emotions that today he gets angry, today he's not. Because that would mean that God is changing, and that means he changes over time. And again, he argues that time is something that God has created. So he can't change over time. So these are some dense topics. But all of this is a precursor to answer this question of what happened in this discussion between Moshe and Hashem. And Moshe says, show me your ways. I already pointed out that our sages in the Gemara says, like, explain to me why bad things happen to good people, or bad to good, bad to bad, good to good, good to bad. Explain to me why these things happen. And Hashem's response is, okay, stand there. I'm going to cover you, pass by. You can't see my front. I'll show you my back. The Rambam says, there's no front, there's no back, there's no hand. What is this section talking about? So let me share with you, maybe we'll see as we go through, a few explanations. The first explanation is when he says, Lo yir'ani ha'adam b'chai, a person can't see me and continue to live. What does that mean? So one answer that I read is a very important aspect of living in society is to care about other people and to have compassion on other people, to empathize with other people and their struggles. Let's say you understood every reason why everything would happen. You might fall into a situation where if someone were suffering for whatever reason that may be, if you understood God's reasoning, then maybe you wouldn't empathize for the person. You wouldn't feel the person's pain. The person's going through some pain. Yeah, because that's what God wants. So I'm not going to check in on you, see how you're doing. You're doing exactly how you should be doing because that's what should happen. It makes you not human anymore. Part of being a human is you see someone suffering, you empathize. You see someone struggling, you lend you open a hand to support them, to help them. You give them financial support when they need it. You give them emotional support when you need it. If a person understood why everything was happening, then you would run the risk of not doing that. You would run the risk of saying, well, I know why this person is suffering. There's a reason behind it. So I'm not going to empathize with the person. In other words, it's important as a human for you not to understand why everything were happening. Because if you understood why it were happening, you would no longer be human. That's one explanation of when Hashem says, I'm doing my job, you do your job. I don't want you to know why people are going through certain struggles, because that might hold you back from being a human being and supporting that person and lifting up that person and helping them in whatever way possible. That's your job as a human being, is to help each other. Your job is to support each other. Your job is not to come in and play the role of God. So that's one explanation when he says, Lo yir'ani ha'adam b'chai, a person can't see me, can't understand me, and continue to live as a human being, meaning your job is to empathize with others, to feel other people's pain. And if you know too much, you're not going to be able to do that. So that's one explanation. I want to explain this whole front and back. So the way the Rambam explains it is like, okay, so you see someone from the front, you recognize who the person is. Sometimes you have like identical twins, and even from the front, you may not be able to tell the difference. But for most people from the front, you should be able to tell who that person is. You should be able to recognize the person. You'll see them again. You'll remember that you saw them. You won't confuse them with someone else. From the backside, not so much. You could have two people. They do their hair the same way, similar height. You don't really know who that person is. If you see that person from the back and you see that person, let's say, 6 months later, you may not even recognize that you saw that person before. You don't fully recognize. There's certain things from the features of the what do you call it, when someone is giving body language, certain things that you missed by seeing someone's backside. So the Rambam explains how this is what God's answer was. God's answer, again, explaining how God doesn't have a front or back. He was using human terms and saying, I can't give you a clear understanding of everything that I do like one recognizes someone from the front, but I can give you something from the back, meaning there's something I'll give you. Don't expect it to be clear, because it's just going to only be like a backside understanding of me. And this imagery of him saying, I'm going to cover you and then I'm going to pass by and you'll see me at the end, I read that it's like compared to the sun. Someone in the middle of the day tries to stare at the sun, you can't. Your eyes, human eyes, just can't. Actually, a few years ago, there was some sort of an eclipse. How in the middle of the day, the moon was going to go in front of the sun. And they were saying you should. There was a certain time period. It's like a belt across the country. You could look at it, but don't stare at it with your own naked eye, because if you do, it's going to do some irreparable damage to your eye. I don't know if you remember. There's a bunch of people going out there staring right at the thing, even though they were told not to. Okay, anyway, staring at the sun with human eyes, what you can try to do it, but you won't be able to see him. However, there are times where you could see the sun when it's not so strong, mostly at the end of the day, when the sun has already like done its played its course for the day. And so it's almost like God is saying, like, I'll cover your eyes, like you're wearing shades. You can't see me during the day, but at the end of the day, when the day is almost over, you can look, and then you could look at the ball of sun as it's setting. You could look at it then. You'll be able to see it at the end. So the way I read that this was explained is that as things are happening real time, don't expect to understand them. Someone is going through some sort of a struggle. You could try to understand, you could speculate, but you don't know. It's like trying to know what the sun looks like in the middle of the day. You can guess whatever you want to guess. You could come up with whatever reason you want to. You don't know. But what I will give you, God says, is in hindsight, after the fact, after I've already passed by, after it's already happened, a day later, a week later, a month later, a year later, maybe you'll be able to look, decades later, you'll be able to look back and say, I understand why this happened. There are many times I know personally, people have told me their situation. Someone is going through some sort of a relationship and it doesn't work out. And when it doesn't work out, they feel like the world is coming to an end. They feel like, you know, nothing's worth living for, chas v'shalom, to that extent. But then afterwards, after 1 year, after 2 years, after looking back at it, they realize that what happened happened for the best. Like, that was not a good relationship for me. And thank God that it fell apart. At the moment, I thought the world was coming to an end. I didn't think it was the right thing. I didn't want it to end. But looking back at it, I was able to understand how there was some growth that came out of it, some change that came out of it, that I wouldn't have it any other way. Now, is everyone guaranteed to have that? No. This is like the cryptic response that God is giving to Moshe, as is explained by one opinion, is that as a human being, you can't understand things that are happening real time. But what I can give you is maybe there will be a time after the sun has passed, after I've already passed by, that you'll be able to look and see my back, meaning in hindsight, understand somewhat why this might have been. Someone might go through a struggle, and the struggle teaches them something, and they learn new skills from it. And then they come back afterwards and they say, you know, at the time, I didn't know why. I thought this was terrible, and maybe I wouldn't want it. But now in hindsight, I could see why it happened, right? I at least can come up with some reason to give me some comfort as to why it happened. This doesn't mean that we look for those struggles. It doesn't mean that we want those struggles. But what it means is that we fully believe that there are reasons why God is running the world the way he's doing it. We do our part. We put in our effort. We put in our energy. We try to do everything we can for our own growth and success. And we understand that when there's a curveball, something difficult that happens that we may not understand why, but we trust fully that Hashem is behind it. And maybe, just maybe, one day down the line, we'll understand why. Maybe not. That was God's response to Moshe, that you're a human being, and as a human, there's just some understanding of me that you can't have. Okay. Like I started off this shiur, entering a topic like this is extremely difficult, and I fully acknowledge that we don't have all of the answers. But I feel that there are some things that we could learn from here. That the two basic messages that we could learn from the answers that I presented, and there's more. There's so much more discussion. The two or three basic things that we could learn from here is, number one, God is non-physical, and he's not a human being. And a lot of the metaphors presented in the Torah are ways for us to, with our human minds, to perceive him, to understand him. But they're not. they're not the real representation of what God is. In fact, the Rambam explains that we don't know what God is. All we know is what God is not. He's not a human. He doesn't have parts. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have emotions the way we do. We can't speak about what he is because we don't understand what it is. It's like he says it elsewhere. The Rambam explains that there are certain things it's impossible to explain if you just don't know. Like, for example, let's say someone is born with some sort of a sickness that they're blind at birth. For example, from birth, never saw color. Try to explain to that person the difference between blue and red and orange and yellow and green. If a person has never seen color, you can try to explain it with whatever words you want. The person won't understand what color is. So this is a similar idea where we're entering into very difficult discussions that if a human being wants to understand God, they have to go in with that humility that you don't. You can't. A human being can't continue to live in this world as a human being because we're not God. But like I shared, but there's a reason for it. Why? Because part of our job as human beings is to support and care about other human beings and to go through other people's struggles and to have their back and to be a shoulder for them to lean on and to support them financially, support them emotionally, support them in whatever way that we can support others without us understanding why something bad is happening to them. Because if we understood, oh, this is happening because of this, this, and that, whatever that reason may be, we might come to say, well, why should I help the person? Like, this is the best thing possible. That's not a human, a good human emotion or attribute to treat other people. You should have compassion on others. You should have empathy for others. So that's the key lesson number one here is that sometimes it's in our best benefit not to understand. And then the other thing is to say how God gave Moshe the hope, or not the hope, or he told him that what you will understand is maybe one day you'll be able to look and understand me from the backside after it already had happened. I hope and pray that Be'ezrat Hashem, we always only experience good fortune, we experience bracha, blessing, and only good experiences and good health. Be'ezrat Hashem, I hope everyone only experiences good things. And going in with the humility that we, or the belief, the strong faith and belief that Hashem is intimately involved in our lives. And if someone is struggling, you should fully be there to support that person and fully have faith that as human beings, we should never be pointing and trying to give reasons as to why something bad happened. Our reaction, of course, if something bad happens to us, you want to try to use it as a way to improve. So if someone, his arm gets hurt, and in his mind, he wants to say, well, my arm got hurt because I did something negative with my arm. Let me stop doing that negative thing. Great. You're using it as inspiration for growth. There's nothing wrong with that. But to point to someone else and say, this happened to you because of this and you deserve it, that takes away the very essence of being a human being, which is to empathize with others. So it's a very important lesson. I hope I did this topic somewhat of justice. I understand that this is a topic that's extremely difficult and dense. And Be'ezrat Hashem, may we always only experience good things together. Shavua Tov, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be in touch. Take care. Bye.